several years ago, Adam Hamilton wrote a book titled Enough, Discovering Joy Through Simplicity and Generosity. It was a book that really resonated with Lenora and me. So we thought it would be good to do a brief message series on the book here at the 6:35 services. We entered into this season ahead of the holidays, and also when we will be emphasizing stewardship. Good stewardship over the resources God has entrusted to us is our Genesis charge, as Eugene Peterson aptly puts it. This comes from what we read in Genesis chapter 1 about how we were created in God's image and charged with vows to give in proportion to what we've been given for the benefit of our disciple-making ministry here in the church. In the introduction to his book, Adam expresses hope that by reading Enough, we will learn to see our money and our possessions with new eyes, remembering, as Jesus taught in Luke chapter 12, that our lives aren't determined by our possessions, no matter how wealthy we are or aren't. So let us pray for eyes to see and ears to hear. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us this evening so that in the reading of the scripture, your word is heard. In the meditations of our hearts, your word is known. And in the faithfulness of our lives, your word is shown. Our scripture passage comes from 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10, as paraphrased by Eugene Peterson in the Message. It is in your bulletin. Hear now the word of God. A devout life does bring wealth, but it's the rich simplicity of being yourself before God. Since we entered the world penniless, and will leave it penniless, if we have bread on the table and shoes on our feet, enough. But if it's only money these leaders are after, they'll self-destruct in no time. Lust for money brings trouble, and nothing but trouble. Going down that path, some lose their footing in the faith completely and live to regret bitterly ever after. The word of God for the people of God, God's people say. My best friend Jim and I had just pulled into the parking lot of a guitar center in Fairfax, Virginia. I had flown up to spend the weekend with him and his band after they had asked me to play guitar on a couple of tracks for a CD they were recording and to play a show with them in Georgetown. I was not going to turn down that opportunity. Jim and I had been friends since we were in a band together in high school. And once upon a time, we dreamed together about making it big in the music industry. I joined the Navy, and Jim went to college, and I was always a little jealous that he continued making music and had some modest success in a band on the college circuit in Virginia. So when he called to invite me up for the weekend, I jumped at the chance. But back to this parking lot at Guitar Center. Jim was making a quick stop to buy spare guitar strings for the show that night. I told him I would wait in the car. Jim said, "Dude, you're not waiting in the car." "Yes, I am." "No, you're not." "Yes, I am." "No, you're not." Because of our lack of maturity, this exchange went on for longer than it really should have. Until finally, he asked me, "Why? Not." I told Jim it was because I had a bad feeling. And he said, "About what?" I was afraid they were going to have my dream guitar. I had seen it only one other time. And if in fact they had this guitar, I could not trust myself not to buy it. He called me a loser, told me they didn't have the guitar, and apparently he knew this because he had been in the store just the week before, and told me to get out of the car. I imagine some of you can tell where this story is going. So Jim walked to the counter for his guitar strings, and I went straight to the electric guitar section. And there, prominently displayed in the very center of the section, was a red Fender American Standard Stratocaster with a flame maple top and mother-of-pearl dot inlays. An uncommon Fender Stratocaster I had dreamed about since laying eyes on it in a shop in Florida years earlier. If you've seen the movie Wayne's World, it was like when they walked in and that white Stratocaster was up on there and this chorus of angels was singing. I stood there and stared, completely dumbfounded. Jim walked up behind me, saw the guitar top of the display, and started laughing. "Dude, that wasn't there last week," is what he said. "You have to play it." "No, Jim. If I play it, I'll buy it. And I can't afford it." He said, "Just play it. Just because you like the way it looks doesn't mean you like the way it plays." Whatever. You clap. I've had this guitar longer than I've been married to Lenora, but I had to use. Huh? Good purchase? Yeah. Lenora, good guitar. I had to use two different credit cards to cover the transaction. I really could not afford the guitar. And too bad, I didn't know then this contentment prayer that Adam encourages us to carry with us when we are shopping or paying our bills to be our guide and keep us connected to our purpose. "Lord, help me to be grateful for what I have, to remember what I don't, remember that I don't need most of what I want, and that joy is found in simplicity and generosity." I didn't realize it, but at the time I was battling affluenza, which Adam defines as the constant need for more and bigger and better stuff. It has been more formally defined as, one, the bloated, sluggish, and unfulfilled feeling that results from efforts to keep up with the Joneses. Two, an epidemic of stress, overwork, waste, and indebtedness caused by dogged pursuit of the American dream. And three, an unsustainable addiction to economic growth. So I ask you, does that sound familiar? If we're honest, we all must admit we've struggled at one time or another with the desire to acquire. This leads to a second disease, which apparently I had as well, creditis. Creditis presents the opportunity to buy now and pay later, with enticing incentives like 6 months, same as cash, or we'll give you a 20% discount if you use a store credit card. Here are some startling 2016 American credit card debt statistics. Total outstanding U.S. consumer debt, $3.4 trillion. Total revolving debt, $929 billion. Average credit card debt has been rising over the past decade, despite the fact that the number of people holding credit card debt has actually been decreasing. Men are more likely than women to hold credit card debt. Women seem to prefer debit cards over credit. 45 to 54-year-olds carry the highest average credit card debt. And the most concerning statistic, especially when you look at it in a bar graph form, is that households with the lowest net worth, these are people who have a net worth of zero or a negative net worth, have the highest average credit card debt of more than $10,000. Now, having worked in financial services for a good bit of my professional life, I could go on and on about this, but the conclusion that must be made won't change. All the consumption and impulse buying in the world, using credit or not, will never satisfy our We have to acknowledge the problem within us, the spiritual malaise that lies underneath our affluenza and creditis. Because Paul, the Apostle Paul, was quite right when he said, if it's only money or possessions we are after, we'll self-destruct in no time. Lust for money brings trouble and nothing but trouble. Adam wrote this, inside us there is a brokenness. The Bible calls it sin. Our souls were created in the image of God, but they have been distorted. We were meant to desire God, but we have turned that desire toward possessions. We were meant to find our security in God, but we find it in amassing wealth. We were meant to love people, but instead we compete with them. We were meant to enjoy the simple pleasures of life, but we busy ourselves with pursuing money and things. We were meant to be generous and to share with those in need, but we selfishly hoard our resources for ourselves. All that I just read was very true of Lenora and me years ago when we worked together in financial services. Our dreams weren't God-sized dreams for our lives. Our dreams had dollar signs, big dollar signs. But the business deals that we made that we thought were the sure bets for funding our American dream fell apart. And because we had made several poor decisions, like the one I had made purchasing my beautiful red guitar, except these had a few more zeros on the end of the price tag, our American dream turned into an American nightmare. We quickly found ourselves in a place where there was way too much month left at the end of our money, and we were borrowing from Peter to pay Paul. It was miserable. And it only exacerbated the strain in our marriage that was already there for other reasons. Thankfully, it didn't take long for us to discover that what we needed, more than enough money to pay our bills, was changed hearts, changed desires, and a changed sense of purpose for our lives. We had been going to church again for, I say again, because we were the prodigal couple. We had been going to church again for only a few months when Lenora told me one day that she wanted to talk with me about our finances. I confess to you, I never wanted to talk about it. Call it what you will, male pride or, you know, the hunter-gatherer syndrome or whatever, but it was heart-wrenching for me as a husband and a father to be in the situation we were in and feel like I wasn't adequately providing for my family. And while I'm confessing, and please, why don't you tell Lenora this week, next week when she gets back, I still don't like to talk about money. She would say amen. Anyway, we sit down to talk. And Lenora says something completely unexpected. We need to start tithing. I started laughing. But when I saw she was serious, I asked, with what money? And then she said something I will never forget. And it illustrates, well, the fact that I married up. She said, I don't know, but I believe that the only way we're going to get out of the mess we're in is by inviting God into the mess with us. And the way that we do that is honor Him by giving back to what we do have, from what we do have. So we started small with the idea that we would work to increase our giving to a 10% tithe over time. As we allowed Christ to work in us, seeking first His kingdom and striving to do His will, we began to sense a higher calling to simplicity and faithfulness and generosity, our desire to use our time and our talent and our resources for the glory of God increased dramatically. Our hearts and lives were being changed from the inside out. And our self-centeredness of greed and envy and materialism was replaced with an other-centeredness, a Christ-centeredness. And the result was that we got out of our mess. Granted, it was a way neither of us expected, but we got out of it nonetheless, and we discovered what it means to be free. Free to respond to God's call. So we haven't used credit cards in over a decade. We don't have any. Our biggest hurdle now is the student loan debt that we each incurred so that we could both go to seminary. But we are working a financial plan that we learned from Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. And we expect to repay our loans well in advance of our 10-year maturity. More importantly, we tithe. We joyfully give back to God from what He has entrusted to us. With God's help, it really is possible to simplify our lives and silence those voices that are constantly telling us we need more. And I still hear the voices, by the way. Every time there's a new iPhone. But we really can say enough already and live counter-culturally by living below our means so we can live generously and faithfully as we seek to follow Jesus and become the disciples He is calling us to be. So tonight, as John and Kimberly lead us in our time of offering, I invite you to prayerfully reflect on what I've shared here tonight. Our money and how we use it is an intensely personal matter of the heart. That is why Jesus said, "Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So rather than prompt you with questions to guide your meditation, I am going to trust that God's Spirit has impressed upon you that which might be helpful to you as you consider the ways God is calling you to simplify your life, enjoy what you have, give more generously, and how to handle your money and possessions in the way that God intends. So as we enter into this time of offering ourselves back to God, I invite you to pray aloud with me the contentment prayer found in your bulletin. Underneath where the scripture is. So let's pray together. Lord, help me to be